Hi, thanks for joining us on Hometown to Hollywood. This is Bonnie Wallace, author of The Hollywood Parents Guide. And today my guest on this podcast is Zach Barnett.
Hello!
Zach runs the Zach Barnett Studios in Midtown Los Angeles, which is billed as an acting studio for the whole self. Zach Barnett Studios provides classes, intensives, and private coaching for the professional actors age 9 through adult. Zach, welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. I'm excited to talk.
I'm excited to be talking to you.
Yes, I've heard so much about you for many years.
Well, me too. And so I feel like I know you already.
You guys are listening to a date, it sounds like. Anyway.
Well, so let's just dive right in. How did you begin as an acting teacher?
Okay. You know, it's funny. When I was a kid, my first answer to what do you want to be when you grow up was a great poet. Mm-hmm. When I was 9. Like, I didn't want to be a fireman. I didn't want to be a cop. I wanted to be a great poet. And I think for me, there's always been that orientation towards kind of both the seen and unseen, you know, which art gets, you know, art performance gets to straddle those things. So through my teen years, I was an actor, writer, director, just kind of gobbling up whatever I could get. And I went to NYU for dramatic writing when I was 17. And something happened about a year in. So I was part of this program. It was really exciting. And then I had a traumatic event happen. And I lost my proprioception. So my mind's ability to know where my body was in space. So it was like all of a sudden my life was over. Like, I had no future. It was like I was crazy.
Yeah.
I didn't know what was happening to me.
Yeah.
And, you know, I was a psychiatrist, kind of without looking up from their prescription pad, told me I was psychotic and want to put me on medication. I was like, no, I don't know what this is, but I don't want to do that. And so acting, writing, directing, yoga, anything I could get became the way of sort of Humpty Dumpty putting himself back together again. Mm-hmm. So in that process, I feel like I really developed an awareness over the actor's instrument, because I was reconnecting myself through the process. So I could really understand how things were working. And then in my early 20s, I had a theater company in San Francisco. So I stopped NYU. I just like moved to Japan. I had sort of a wild, wild time as all this was happening. Moved to San Francisco. I had a theater company I think I was 21. And we performed at a college. And the college approached me after the performance and said, we want you to head up our master's program.
That must have felt amazing.
Yeah, I'm like, I don't have a master's degree. I don't even have a bachelor's degree. So, and they're like, we'll give you a fake head of the program. And I guess I can say this now. I mean, it's years ago.
We can speak the truth here.
What's that?
We can speak the
truth.
Yeah,
okay, we speak the truth. Yeah, we'll give you a fake head of the program. You design it. And then we'll put you through a master's. We'll help you finish your bachelor's and put you through a master's. So I spent 10 years designing this program. Essentially, that I would have wanted to go to, and that kind of took into account all that I had been through in this process of putting myself back together again. Mm. So that program was really focused on actors that wanted to create their own work. And because it was focused on that, it was really about the artist's voice. I mean, yes, it's about craft, right? Like, actors have a craft, writers have a craft, directors have a craft. It is a lifelong pursuit, all of those crafts. But what makes an artist unique is their curiosity. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of like food for an artist. Like, are you asking the right questions? Are you feeding yourself the right food? And so the themes of the school really became about spirituality and activism. Because not because I know the answers to any of those questions, but I know that those are life's biggest questions. Mm-hmm. And whatever answers you find for yourself connect you to such an individual and deep sense of self that you become utterly unique. Mm-hmm. So instead of going to kind of the result-oriented process of Hollywood, which, you know, can put you into these boxes if you get into that mentality, there you develop a real inner compass and a sense of your own presence and how to let people see that.
Which is so powerful.
Yeah. So then I was there for 10 years. I finished those degrees. I made a movie, and it brought me to L.A. And then I was studying at Margie Haber Studios, and about a year in, Margie asked me to start teaching there. So then I got another decade of Hollywood, you know, all day long, going from horror movie to Disney film to, you know, single cam to satire to blah, 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 you know, just relentless audition process and really understanding how that timeline works. So when I started the studio here, I really wanted to bring those two worlds together. How can we live in a world where, or how can I create a space which is successful and produces the kind of results that actors want in this town and that they should want and they're entitled to, but it's also grounded in such a deep sense of self that what they bring to the table is utterly unique and can move the world forward in some way because they're connected to their truth. You know, in our main space in the studio, we have this big canvas with the portraits of different thinkers, artists that have inspired all of the faculty. So instead of having the headshots on the wall of all the famous actors,
which is the standard thing,
which is the standard, we're like, these people were so utterly unique that they changed the world through their point of view. So those are our heroes in this school. That's what we're looking to cultivate.
That's so exciting.
Thank you.
I want to go here. In my past life, when I wanted to be an actor. Well, so how do you translate that? Because that's an amazing story. And it reminds me, is it The Obstacle is the Way? The sort of...
I don't know that.
Oh, it's... Okay, I'll send you the link.
Yeah.
There's a fantastic book out called The Obstacle is the Way. It's like sort of a modern day use of Stoic philosophy for... Yeah. You know, how to take what's in front of you and make it work for you instead of being blocked by it, right?
Yeah.
Like, so you started with this experience that could have blocked you, but instead you've leveraged it into this incredible life and contribution that you're making now.
Well, thank you. Yeah, I mean, it's. I mean, I don't know. The curse is the gift.
Right.
I don't know.
All
right?
That. Yeah. All that. So how do you take that and how do you translate that into an approach for teaching acting? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's funny. I mean, I'm writing a book on this, so this might be my longest answer. I'm going to try to be as succinct as possible. You know, I mean, one is just kind of just get to the orientation that acting is a lifelong process of what I believe is the mastery of self and the mastery of selflessness, ultimately. So because we are our own instrument, it's the study of every aspect of who we are. It's our mind, body, spirit, it's our emotional life, it's our psychology, it's our imagination, it's our, you know, ultimately, ability to perceive the world through empathy, right? Like, as an actor, if you judge a character, you cannot become them.
Yes.
So we have to keep looking deeper for our connection point to any other human being, right? So we have to study an awareness of all of those things, and then we have to develop an incredible eye to the material. You know, in that material, in a given side, is the writer's imagination, the writer's world. And you have to have such a sensitive eye and ear to the material. And when you do, it carries you someplace, right? So we have the study of ourself, we have the study of the material, and then the actor's craft is really, how do we bring those two things together? So I am both myself and this character at the same time.
Right.
Yeah, so how do we translate that into a process? It's kind of a combination of craft study, self-study, and really with this compass that this is like a martial art. This is about humility, consistency, and curiosity. And if you show up every day with those, with that lens... you never stop growing into this thing. And I think growing into this thing is really growing into you. You know? I had a teacher that once said, if you know three things, you see three things. If you know a million, you see a million.
Ooh, I like that.
So when I pick up the page of sides and I'm looking at them, you know, when I first start studying, I'm going to perceive three and I'll bring three.
Yeah.
But after years, I see so much. And that process never ends. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, that's really good. That's really, I love that. And I think that is going to help the listeners like understand like who you are as a teacher in terms of somebody who's designed this school. That's a place where like, is this a good fit for me? Like right away, people are going to go, oh my gosh, yes. Or like, I don't know.
Yeah, right.
Right?
That's
which is perfect.
Weird.
It's perfect. That's what you
right,
want.
Exactly.
Because you're just like, you're laying
and then, you know, and then in terms of class structure, like practically how it lays out, you know, most people that come to us do come through agents and managers. So there is a professional expectation when you come, even, you know, whether it's kids, teens, or adults. So the first course that we have is 12 weeks long, and it's really focused on auditioning and acting in Hollywood across genre. So they spend a few weeks on single cam, a few weeks on multicam, a few weeks on procedural drama, a few weeks on character-driven drama, a few weeks on horror films, etc. To really give you, to start training your eye to different material and also give you the consistent things in the audition process so that ultimately you're not going to embarrass yourself when you go into the room. Worst case scenario, and then, you know, best case scenario, you know how to come alive.
Yeah.
You know where to kind of put your focus so that you can actually be in a creative experience instead of fear when you're in that audition room. So that's the first level. The second level splits off into various craft classes. So you can take a specific focus, right? Like you can be with a teacher that focuses more on Meisner, or a teacher that focuses more on Strasberg, or one that focuses more on improv and physicality. But it becomes real moment-to-moment acting work where we're watching and we're like, no, it wasn't real. Go back, go back, go back, go back. So instead of having the pressure of how can I in 30 minutes make this thing come to life, it's, you know, how can I over the course of 6 weeks makes these three page comes come to life, right? Yeah. So it's kind of working deeper.
Intensive.
Yeah.
Nice.
And then the master class brings those two things back together. So it's a combination of scene study and audition work. But it also becomes much more of a conversation about each individual artist's growth and expansion. So we kind of go back to those three questions. And so, you know, there's meditation as part of the class. I have them do morning pages every day.
Yes, Julia Cameron!
I know, yeah.
I bought that book like when it came out, like almost 30 years ago.
I don't know how many times I've done it, but but yeah, I've stolen a lot from the artist's way. There's other outside assignments as well that really cultivate awareness and get them connected mindfully to where they are in any given moment. I've been thinking so much about the actor's purpose or anyone's purpose, and I'm like, you know, if we can stay really connected to the truth in each moment, that's kind of the best we can do.
I agree totally. I was thinking about this morning. Like, why are people so interested in actors? Like, in a way, like, who cares? Like, there's a billion things to do with your life in terms of a profession, but why are actors so, focused on? Well, I think it's because actors make us feel things.
Yes!
Right? They're like our avatars in yes. some ways. They're our avatars. And we see the actors and the characters that they bring to life, like, have these experiences and feel these feelings, and we feel them with them, which is why we feel such a strong connection with the actors. But it only works
if
the actors are connected to what they're doing. But if it all works all the way through, it's like there's nothing like it.
Yeah, and I think there's a reason. It's so interesting. There's a reason why there's, you know, 5,000 TV shows, and why we have an entire culture that rotates around sitting in front of this screen or that screen or this little screen. You know, it's because people are looking to find themselves through other people.
Yes.
And to experience themselves through other people. So there's, you know, there's actually neuroscience studies done with audience members watching actors where the audience member fires the same neurons in their brain as the actor does in theirs.
They're doing the mirror thing, right? The mirror neurons.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah, and so it's like, this goes back to the whole poet, seen and unseen thing, is that there's this incredible level of communication that's happening that our culture really doesn't understand or talk about or value actors for that reason. It's hard. It's like, you know, actors are royalty or they're nothing. But, you know, but why?
They're maybe more like priests. I mean, they're like high priests. Because to me, it's a very sacred calling. Done properly.
Yeah, they're healers.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think also that's part of the mission of this school is to orient people towards that purpose so they don't get lost in the fray. You know, and I know this firsthand, you know, from being an actor myself, this town is overwhelming at any age, right? So what's your compass? And, you know, in terms of parents or anyone else trying to creating a context for what this experience is, I think the more authentically you're looking at this and the less result-oriented you're looking at this, the safer everyone's going to be.
I agree completely. Yeah. And yeah. I think you know, if you can find ways to stay grounded and stay real, you're not going to get lost out here.
Yeah.
You know, somebody was just asking me this last week, like, how did you guys manage? How do you manage to continue to seem so real and grounded? It's like, it's not hard, actually. You don't have to work at it. You just set yourself upright.
Yeah.
Keep it real.
Yeah.
Don't get confused about what matters and what doesn't.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, sometimes people have a compass that they were born into or was raised in them, and sometimes they don't, mm-hmm. you know, and you can sort of help kind of guide that process. You know, I mean, something about fame too, you know, I know you had mentioned before when we were talking about why students who are already famous continue to come study.
Yeah, you have a lot of that, which is always something that catches my eye. It's like, okay, they're already incredibly successful and they keep coming back to work with you.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, one is like, there's these lifelong relationships. I mean, I have, you know, some of these students, like I was mentioning Danielle McDonald started in 2011, off and on. Sloan Siegel, who was the star of Gordon McGibbons, I started with him when he was 10. He just celebrated his 17th birthday in class the other day. You know, so they're, and, you know, Madeleine Petch was here for 4 years every week. And, you know, there's such a mentorship and a friendship that develops over time that it's like, why, that person's my safe person. Why would I not be with that person? Why would I not continue to work with them? But I think also the pressures of fame and celebrity is like, it gets you into the ego, mm-hmm. which you need to constantly transcend in order to find your artistry. If you sit in that space, you're kind of a sitting duck in many ways.
It's a toxic space, too. It's not a healthy space, you know. And it doesn't mean like, okay, so forget about it, don't go there. It's like you can do that. You can enter a toxic space safely if you have good protection.
Yeah. Well, I think it also goes back to the, you know, the obstacle is the way.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, it's like it becomes this challenge at which you, when you rise to, makes you bigger.
Yes.
So it's like, as the fame comes, so does the transcendence of the fame need to come. And part of that is the humility to come back into class every week, you know? And sometimes they come back into class. Sometimes they're like, I can't be in class because everyone's staring at me. So, you know, so then we do, we have what we call like a premiere service, which is, you know, when people are really, really well known, we'll like shut the studio down mm-hmm. and it will just be them here. And we'll even, if they're, you know, researching a new role, we'll even create a cast for them with non-disclosure so they can really go through the experience.
That's so cool. I've never heard of that. That's amazing.
Well, it's fun.
I bet it's fun. Well, your success rate with your actors is sort of, not sort of, I always modify things. It's just startling. I mean, what is it, the average success rate of actors, 4%?
Oh,
what was it you reported?
Yeah, I guess SAG actors 4% booked last year.
Booked at all. We're not talking about like worked steadily. We're talking had a booking.
Right.
4% of SAG.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and I think ours last year was somewhere around 2/3. So
like 67% or something.
Yeah.
That's astonishing.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I can't take all the credit for this because, one, we do have great relationships with agents and managers. So we do get, people come here because this is what they want to do. They come devoted. Mm-hmm. But then I think it's just kind of like, you know, whether I'm working with a younger actor or an older actor, it doesn't matter. Like the job of all of the teachers in the studio, and this is one of the things that really unifies us, is we meet the person creatively where they are and we have a dialogue from that place. Our job is to see what is happening with them and help them shape it, help them understand, you know, help them nudge them past where they're comfortable and continually expanding and all of that stuff. So, and I think the orientation towards humility, I mean, I'm really proud to say that I think the people that have been most successful at the studio are the ones that consistently, you know, Danielle, Sloan, all of them, Victoria, Pirellis.
Victoria.
Yeah, me too. Ah! It's humility, it's consistency, it's curiosity, it's support of one another. All of them, I love the way they talk about it. It doesn't feel competitive. It feels, they feel inspired by one another to kind of one-up each other.
Yes, but how fun.
You know? Yeah. Yeah.
That's so fun.
So it's, yeah, it's the culture you create. And the other thing I want to say is that it is not only me. My intent in creating the studio, because acting is sacred to me, because without it, I would be lost. I would have been lost. For me to get the best teachers that I could possibly find and have worked with over the years to come and have a creative dialogue and have the students be at the center of that dialogue means that all of us are constantly upping our game,
mm-hmm.
right? So, you know, I brought in my acting teacher, was the first person that I brought on, is Martha Gaiman, who's Estelle Parsons' daughter. And Martha coaches Jane Fonda on her show. She's coached Rami Malek on Mr. Robot. She's, you know, and she's been doing this. She grew up in the Actors Studio. Her mom was the artistic director of the Actors Studio in New York at its height. So she grew up on the floor of the Actors Studio with, you know, Harvey Keitel, Ellen Burstyn, blah, 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 blah.
Incredible.
Yeah, so, you know, and the list goes on. John, who worked with me at Margie's, he taught the adult master class there. Alex was actually one of my students, but went on to get his MFA in teaching acting, wow. Which is, there's only a couple programs in the country that do that.
I was going to say, those are hard to find.
Yeah, and that's a committed teacher.
Yeah.
You know, that's not someone who's going to leave if they book something. That's a very committed teacher. And the list goes on. We actually have a few new teachers joining us in the new year, one of which was kind of she had an iconic role on The Wire. Another one worked extensively with Philip Seymour Hoffman. Another one's... So, I mean, I'm just kind of bringing together the best and people that have a similar humility and commitment and love for this thing. So, you know, we don't make it about us. We just keep it moving.
That's so cool. That is so inspiring. I'm thinking about the age range of the people that you work with. And a lot of acting schools in this town, they tend to go, we cater to kids or we cater to adults.
Right.
And I find it really interesting that you say that you work with professional actors 9 and up.
Yeah.
And you and I both know there's a lot of truly professional young actors out there, man. Those kids, there's professional, sometimes more in some cases than the adults out there.
Yeah.
But like, how do you make the determination? Like, is the kid a professional because they've got an agent, they've got representation, they're working? Or like, how, if somebody was new, like just landed here or whatever, could they work with you? Could they take classes?
Yeah, well, they can come in. You know, we kind of place people based on resume. I mean, most of the time we ask people to go through the whole thing. But if someone has been a series regular on a show for a number of years, whatever, we'll just put them in the master class, or we'll find the right place for them. But the core class, the first level class, we do. I mean, you know, currently we've been word of mouth this whole time. So we haven't done any advertising. So we don't get many people that are kind of fresh off the boat here.
Yeah.
They usually are told about us through their agent or manager. So there's sort of a natural process of, I mean, I think maybe 85 or 90% of our people come through agents and managers.
Wow.
So... you know, we're just starting to now kind of advertise in a broader market.
Yeah, but that's going to definitely affect the readiness of the kids that you're working with when they're kids. And then I was looking at your website. You've got a pretty nicely broken down age group situation, don't you?
Yeah.
Like in terms of the way you group the kids together. So you don't have a 9-year-old doing a scene with an 18-year-old.
Right.
Right?
Yeah. No,
from a parent's point of view, I love that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, for so many reasons.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, just developmentally, you know, the truth of the material and the truth of the actor's process and the truth of what I'm seeing is this in any given actor is the same. But how I relate to them not only depends on their age, but it depends on who they are, what I kind of perceive their strengths and limitations to be. And, you know, we have a creative conversation from there. So there's more commonality in a group of 9 to 12-year-olds in terms of how to speak to them and where they are. And, you know, they might not have all the experience to draw from, but they have sort of a faster natural inclination to the truth.
Ooh.
Right? Like, it's kind of closer. They can kind of stumble into doing it well if you just kind of, like, you know, distract them and bring them over this way.
Yeah.
You know, and then, you know, it's interesting. The distinction for me really between coaching and teaching is... teaching is, you know, essentially giving them the tools to evolve in their own process and create a sense of ownership over their own process. Coaching is, I'm a director. I'm going to get you where you need to go, right? So they're two very different things.
And you do both.
Yeah, we do both here. We do both, and we also do Skype coaches and Skype classes. So something cool that we've started to do for out-of-town people who are working, you know, who have agents and managers and whatnot, is we have 4 intensives throughout the year. So, for instance, we have a pilot season intensive coming up in late January, early February. So it's a week-long, 25 hours of instruction with all of the faculty, and then, you know, industry panels with agents, casting directors, showrunners, to really understand this year's pilot season.
That's exciting.
Yeah. And we work across genre on pilots. So, you know, Netflix, HBO, Disney, you know, like the whole spectrum.
That's beautiful.
But we have 4 of those throughout the year, kind of quarterly. So if someone is living, you know, in Iowa and sending in self-tapes, they can come for a week every 3 months and then have continual Skype coaching with and even keep pace with the classes by getting the same material and just having a private coach once a week.
That's super cool. You know, it's funny. A lot of people still don't understand that Skype is just as good, really,
yeah,
as being face-to-face. Like, you and I are talking face-to-face right now.
Yeah.
And there could be a screen in between us. It wouldn't be different.
Yeah.
You get just as much out of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, it's like, it's nice to be in the room together.
Sure.
For sure.
Sure.
But you don't, I mean, it's absolutely valid.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you see the truth in the actor's eyes,
mm-hmm.
and you hear it in their voice, and you see it in their face, and you know, all of that stuff. It's like, I don't need you in front of me to do that.
Mm-hmm.
I can see what's happening. I can see where you don't understand what you're saying, and you're trying to prove it to me. Or, you know, it's so funny. Like, actors lie the same way that real people do. If they're not connected, right? They'll push to try to prove that they're connected. They'll stonewall you, you know, they'll look away. They'll do all these, there's all these telltale signs. You're like, okay, that's not real you. We have to make it real. We have to make it specific.
Yeah.
You know, something really cool that I love to talk about in class and work with is the unconscious doesn't know the difference between highly developed fantasy and memory.
Yeah.
So if you start using your imagination, which is really sort of a bridge between your conscious and unconscious, if you start using that specifically enough that and tell stories from the point of view of the character, you will get connected to their world. And because you'll start to have emotional responses to the things you're saying. And then it lodges there. And then when you speak about the, you know, it's like if I were to talk about what I did last week and I was on camera and I'm telling the truth, you would see how I felt, what I thought about everything that I experienced. If actors don't know that the language is representing experiences which they've had, and they don't make those specific, they're going to push.
Yeah.
They're going to try to prove it, which is, you know, overacting.
Which is where it doesn't feel real, which is where they lose everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I like this.
I know. I want to be in your class. You should be in my class.
I know, right? So auditioning.
Yeah.
Is its own skill set.
Sure.
What hot tips do you have for auditioning? You know, what about self-tapes especially? But let's back out of the self-tape for a second. It's like, What do you tell your actors in terms of how to approach an audition?
Sure. Well, again, a long answer, but I'll kind of.
You teach a whole class on this.
Yeah,
it's like a very
right.
unfair, you know, question yeah. in some ways, but just like.
Sure. Well, I think I can talk conceptually and then also practically.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, just sort of one basic truth of acting is this is not the art of pretending. This is the art of becoming, right?
Yeah.
So don't. You're finding a way to connect to this human being. And you might have various lengths of time to do that. And you might be put in various contexts, whether it's, you know, on stage, on screen, in an audition, and whatnot, that, you know, create the framework for that. But regardless, it has to be a creative experience. It has to be experienced in the moment. Don't try to figure out how you're going to say the lines. Because reality will never give you what you think it's going to. And the best you do, even if that works, is it's serviceable. It passes the test. It gives the writer what they want. But you know what? When you have 3,000 submissions for one line on a TV show, you got to be more than serviceable. You got to be alive,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a reminder that the audition process, just like every other process in acting, is a constant creative evolution. We're not rehearsing something, we're performing. We are going through a series of evolving creative experiences that are then brought to life with another person, whether it's a casting director or another actor on set. So practically, when you get the script, you don't want to just start memorizing the lines, right? You know, I had a, again, this is sort of the some people will be like, I love this guy. And some people will be like, this guy's weird.
All perfect.
So I went to a hypnotist for a number of years. But who was also a psychologist. Like, he was like my therapist, but we did it through hypnotherapy. And he would always say the learning process for anything is the same. So whether you're learning how to fix a car or cook a meal or be an actor or whatever it is, you go from being unconscious and incompetent. So I'm unaware that I'm doing something badly, to being conscious and incompetent. I'm aware I'm doing something badly. To being conscious and competent, I'm aware I'm doing something correctly. To being unconscious and competent, I don't have to think about it and I'm doing it correctly.
I love that.
Right?
Yeah.
So as an actor, if you go to the final stage, if you pick this up and you start to perform it, you're going to the last portion. There's no sense of integration of the fundamental process of human learning.
Yeah.
You have to approach it in stages. Now, you might only have 15 minutes to work on it, but know how to divvy up those 15 minutes. You know, I also say to folks, when you're in that audition room, the worst thing you can do is be cramming the lines. It is a fear reaction, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. What you want to do, because you need to get to that unconscious and competent phase, is you want to listen to your favorite song. You want to call your best friend. You want to watch a funny YouTube video. Something that gets you into the present.
Yeah.
Right? And lets you digest all the learning you just had so that you walk in alive and it can come to life. So, yeah, I guess my big advice is don't overplan it. Look at it as a constant creative experience that happens in stages. Mm-hmm. Regarding self-tapes, you know, I think, you know, some of the standard stuff, of course, is like, you know, make sure the lighting's good.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, you know, some of that stuff.
Not a cluttery background.
Right. But I also think, you know, work with a coach. Don't read with your parents if you're a kid. I mean, your parents might be the best actor in the world, but I see, you know, when parents want to come and watch the coaching or I see the tension that sometimes exists between a parent and a kid, you know, the kid needs to be able to let go. And that can be difficult. And also, you know, if you wanted your kid to be a tennis pro, you wouldn't decide to give them tennis lessons.
So that's a good analogy.
You know what I mean?
I'm taking that one and running with it.
Right? So you would make sure they get with the tennis pro so they have the best shot of doing it. And also, you know, these self-tapes ultimately is acting comes alive between two people. You mentioned that earlier. It's not me. It's not you. I always say to my young students, it's like, imagine I had blue rays coming out of my eyes and you had red rays coming out of your eyes. Acting is purple.
Yeah. Oh, that's beautiful.
Right? So, yeah. And what happens is we keep investing in one another and then we forget about the outside world. We create a world together. So if you're working with another actor, even if they're, you know, not in the scene with you, they're just there to be of service to you, they understand that they are feeding you things in the moment that you're having a connection. Versus my line, your line. We'll never get you the role.
It's not ping pong.
Yeah. Yeah.
Actually.
Yeah. I love that. Yeah.
That's good. And then what about, like, this whole conversation around rejection, you know,
yeah.
like, that's a conversation for everybody in the industry. You know, parents worry about how to help their kids survive the pain of rejection. And,
yeah.
You know, adult professional actors are like, grappling with it. How do you frame that? How do you hold this whole idea of rejection?
Yeah. Well, it's definitely an evolving, it's something, I don't know if there is an easy answer to it. But what I do know is, you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Like it is expansion. It's like, look, you know, I get my heart broken. I can decide not to open my heart again, or I can open my heart. And when I open my heart, I open it even wider. You know, I mean, so there's a, you know, we talk about, you know, the sacredness of being an actor is to find who you really are is not an easy. It's not given to everyone.
It's not light work.
It's not light work. It's going to hurt. You know, and it is that constant breaking of your own barriers that is going to make you a tremendous force, not only as an actor, but as a person. And you just need a really good community to be inside of it so you don't feel isolated within that experience. You need good mentorship. You need people that you trust to help you navigate it. But, you know, ultimately it is, I think, I don't know what is a better teacher than rejection. You just have to learn to keep, you know, there's this quote. I'm so dramatic. There's this quote at the beginning of the play Angels in America. It's not from the play itself. It's from something else. But it says, in murderous times, the heart breaks and breaks and lives by breaking.
Mm, that's wonderful.
Right?
Yeah.
It's like we expand with it. You know, and I think actors are, again, we have a sacred purpose in this world. We are healers. And we have to know our own pain to know our characters.
Well, and to be able to connect enough with that to be able to then connect with the audience, which is what the audience is hoping for.
Yeah.
That's what they're looking for.
Yeah.
That's why people tune in and show up.
Yeah.
They want that experience of connection and an authentic connection.
Yeah, I think it really just gives the audience the experience of, I'm actually not alone.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like, it sort of gets rid of the illusion that we are separate. You know, again, it goes to the unseen.
Yeah, Maya. Yeah. Oh, we could go somewhere.
Ah!
Places with the conversation. I want to circle back to parents, though,
for
a second. We've touched on parents a little bit in different parts of the conversation, and you probably inevitably deal with quite a few.
Yeah.
Because you deal with, you know, young people, even like, you know, older teens are, you know, still very much, especially in this town, like probably living with their parents.
Yeah,
and stuff.
Sure.
Any advice for parents of young actors who just really want to, you know, do the right thing and support their kids? Like, you know, what advice would you have for parents who are just trying to help their kids succeed?
Sure. One, I think, know your limitations, which also means financial. Like, if you can't be out here, you can't be out here. Don't mortgage your house to come out here. You know, there's other ways, especially now with self-tapes, and, you know, have them come a few times throughout the year for intensive study, and then have them with a coach here. And if you can't afford that, then have them, you know, find the best local class, do your research, have them participate in theater. They're going to get hungry for it. If they've got the bug, they've got the bug. And when the time is right, they'll come out. So one is just to make sure that the parents are taking care of themselves and their family.
That's one of my mantras. It's huge.
Yeah. Because otherwise the pressure gets put on the kid. And that's not a pressure anyone should take, let alone a kid.
Yeah.
I think, again, know the larger purpose that's at play here. Make sure you're finding the right support systems, because it is not, it's not an easy life, but it's an amazing life if you have the right support around you. And that means your agents, your managers, your teachers, your friends, your social life. It, you know, everyone's creating it out here. And you have to be really active in creating your community, you know, in order to do that. In terms of working with their kids, like I said, don't work with them. But you know, but sometimes,
look, when you're just starting out, sometimes you don't have a choice.
Yeah,
Zach.
Sure. So what I would say is, you know, don't ask them to memorize the lines first. On a page, in a given side, there are people, places, events, and objects. Right? People, places, events, and objects. This constitutes that character's world. Their relationship to each of those things is what creates their point of view. Right?
Yeah.
Just like I have a different relationship to this camera and this microphone than you do, to this room than you do, to each other, to Austin.
Yeah, literally.
You know, yeah, we literally have, so our differences in those things is what makes us unique and come to life. So ask them to tell stories from the point of view of their character about every person, place, event, and object on that page.
That's good.
And then what happens is the world of the character starts to be built within them, and then the lines become a consequence of that life rather than, you know, seeking to articulate that life.
Yeah, which they don't have any idea what they're trying to even articulate from. That's beautiful. That's good. That's good coaching.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great way, you know, because parents are like, what can I do? I'm like, have them circle all the people, places, events, and objects and let them tell stories until you see that they feel something in their story. Specificity really is about your body's reaction to your imagination. So you got to take it long enough that you get triggered by something. And then keep going.
Nice. Yeah. Nice. What about the kids themselves? You know, I get kids literally daily going, I live somewhere very far away from LA.
Yeah.
And like, ah, I want to be an actor more than anything. I know this is my path. What can I do? What can I do where I am right now? What would you tell those kids?
Find your tribe wherever you are. You know what I mean? Like, what's so cool a lot of times with the kids' classes and even the teen classes is a lot of these kids that, you know, have been homeschooled or, you know, because they grew up on sets or are auditioning or whatever it is that they're doing, you know, they you see them light up when they see each other because, you know, that's their tribe. And I actually remember when I was a junior in high school, and I was going into my junior year, and I got accepted to this program. It was called Governor's School for the Arts in New Jersey. So what it was they took like 10 writers, 10 actors, they took an orchestra, some visual artists, and they put us all up in a college campus and gave us classes for a month.
That sounds like heaven.
It was Fame is what it was. It was the movie Fame.
Right?
So it was, I was like, I have found my people. I had never known. I was always doing it on my own. And, you know, it's hard to do on your own, but you do it, you know. But then, you know, it's to have them supported, to have myself, that changed my life that moment. I think that's why I'm still in acting school. That's why I created them, right?
It's so powerful. It is so huge when you have that experience that you are not alone because you really do find your people. And that's what happened to us when we moved to LA. Dub was like, I found my people. They're here. Oh, I'm not crazy and weird and alone and singular. It's like, this is where my people are. It's the most amazing thing.
Yeah.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. So whatever you can do, you know, to encourage your kid to do that.
Mm-hmm. And that's available pretty much everywhere. Sometimes you have to seek it out a little more.
Yeah.
Creatively.
I'm not a parent, but I assume that this is parenting 101, that every kid is different, and you can't help shape a life for a kid who loves football the same way that you do who loves painting.
No.
Right? So you got to feed them what they need, right? So I guess that would be my advice. It's just kind of for parents, do what you can, do what is going to keep you and them safe. Know what the larger purpose is here for them, help guide them to the resources that will support them in that journey. And for the kids, you're not alone. Find other people like you. Keep doing it. It is a lifelong pursuit. It's going to change shape 1,000 times. I wanted to be a great poet, right? Then I became a playwright. Then I became an actor. Then I became a director. Then I became an acting teacher. But at the essence of it has always been my desire to be a great poet. So I still found that through it, and their life's going to move in many different directions.
But there is a through line.
Yeah.
Anything else you'd like to share, Zach?
Oh, geez. We talked about so much. I guess just a reminder of some of the stuff I said earlier about classes. We have this pilot season intensive coming up. We also have a number of classes happening come pilot season. So please come check us out. Check out our website, which I think you're going to tell people about.
Yeah, we're going to have a list of ways that people can find you. Do you have showcases? Do you ever do showcases where agents and managers come and see?
You know, it's funny. We've been doing them kind of sporadically and kind of impromptu. The interesting thing is because a lot of people do come through agents and managers, we've actually been doing showcases more for casting directors.
That's cool.
But yeah, and what's really cool is we have a number, the casting director, Sarah Isaacson, who casts, the last thing she did was the Menendez Brothers, but she did Bates Motel, she also did the show Scream, and Carol Goldwasser.
I just interviewed her this week.
Oh, wow.
You guys are going to be back to back. I love her.
Yeah, so they're both on our advisory board. So what we're actually looking to do right now is, Sarah had a brilliant idea, which we're going to figure out how and when we're going to do this. But she's like, I want to have the actors audition for me. and I will cast a showcase, and I will invite specific casting directors that I think will respond to certain actors to be in the audience. So
that's a very, like, tailor-made
experience. I know.
So cool.
Yeah, so that's kind of on the horizon. But yeah, we get asked all the time by agents and managers for referrals, but in terms of showcases, you know, maybe once a year we'll do something like that.
Okay. Just good to know, because people are always asking me, like, who does showcases? Because there's that whole, like, how to get in front of an agent and manager thing. That's just always this puzzle.
Yeah, and you know, look, how to get in front of them is to be really good. And then your acting teacher or your, you know, school person or, you know, the program director at your school is going to be like, I'm going to call my friend.
Yeah.
Because you're great.
It's organic and it's authentic. Yeah. That's how it happens, because this is, at the end of the day, it's a very people-based, relationship-based endeavor.
Absolutely.
Someone who's excited about you is going to want to help you succeed.
Yeah. And that, I mean, I think that that's also advice to actors everywhere, is that, you know, the relationships you're building are everywhere. And, you know, don't take them for granted. And you know, the more you approach everything with humility, with service, with all of that stuff, the more people are going to fall in love with you and fight for you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So get out of your own way. Get out of your ego. Get out of your, you know, arrogance. And, you know, be a part of something. And people will fight for you. I actually just, one of my students who I've had for many years, I was able to make a referral to this management company that's like represents like less than 100 actors, but it's like Leo DiCaprio, Reese Witherspoon, like it's those folks. And I'm like, because you've studied with me for 6 years, I will go to bat for anyone with you. And he got signed. You know?
That's so exciting. That you must know? Have felt really good for you too.
Yeah. Yeah, it does. It does.
Oh, Zach, this has been so fun.
I know. Come back.
I will. And before we let you go, I just want to just share with everybody how they can get a hold of you. There's a bunch of different ways. Yay, thanks for social media. But first of all, Zach's website, which is fantastic, it's a really great website, is just zachbarnett.com, and that's Z-A-K.
You got it.
B-A-R-N-E-T-T, zachbarnett.com. On Twitter, you are ZBS Acting Studio.
Yes.
And on Instagram, Zach Barnett Studios. And also on Facebook, you're Zach Barnett Studios. And you've also got a YouTube channel.
Yes.
Which is Zach Barnett Acting Studios.
Yes. And we actually, we're just about to release a bunch of podcasts on our YouTube. And also we have what we call the C-Talks, which is, it's part of our podcast series, but it's where we're talking to actors that have come through the studio about their life in the context of the themes of spirituality, entertainment, activism. So we have one coming up with Danielle McDonald from Patty Cakes, and it's going to branch into a panel of these leader, you know, of actresses from 13 through 70 that maybe we can ask Del to come.
I would love to. And I'm a fan of Danielle's at this point, too, because we met on Dumplin'.
Yeah. Yeah, she's awesome.
She is.
She's super awesome. So yeah, to talk about the changing role of women in the industry. I mean, there's a tide changing.
You can feel it.
Yeah, you can feel it. You can feel it. It's wonderful. I mean, not only with the Me Too stuff, but also with body image, with diversity, with, you know, it's with a stronger presence of female directors. Like the voice of the female voice is going to come through a lot more into our culture, and I think that's an excellent thing.
I do too. I mean, I'm just so excited to see more voices at the table, whether the table is, you know, the table of politics and policy or the table of, you know, art and creativity. It's like the more voices, the more diversity, true diversity we have in the voices, the better, more amazing outcomes we can create together.
Yeah.
You know, it's such a good
thing.
Just have
to get the world to not be so afraid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. So I'm so excited you're doing that. I'll look for that.
Yeah, awesome.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to Hometown to Hollywood. If you enjoy this podcast, subscribe. Go to BonnieJWallace.com and sign up on the podcast page to get exclusive, inspirational stories and insider info sent to your inbox every week. If you need help figuring out just how to navigate the career of a young actor, buy my book, The Hollywood Parents Guide, on Amazon. And for one-on-one coaching that can save you literally thousands of dollars and months and years of wasted time, book an hour consultation with me over Skype or in LA. Just go to BonnieJWallace.com and click on the consultation page. For about the same price of an hour with an acting coach, you can get peace of mind and a detailed action plan. Thanks. Remember, the future belongs to those who believe in their dreams.